and I'll upgrade our charges. Very much worshipped and absorbed their hearts in singing the beautiful bhajans and kirtans which were offered by Sri Narottam Das Thakur. Srila Prabhupada explains that although he had written these wonderful poems in very simple Bengali language, because the content was so deeply devotional, and because the words revealed in such pure and one with such pure and wonderful potency the essence of all knowledge, it is none different than reciting the original Vedic hymns. Narottam Das Thakur's life is honored and worshipped as that is the of the most ideal follow of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I would like to very briefly describe some of the incidents in the most exemplary and glorious life of Srila Narottam Das Thakur for the satisfaction of the Vaishnavas. It is described that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling to Vrindavan, he stopped at the village of Ramakeli, where he met with Srila Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. It was during that very historical journey of Lord Chaitanya that he performed a very astonishing pastime. The Lord, along with his most intimate associates, faced toward the Padma River, and he looked in the direction of the village of Keturi, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began with great, great intensity of devotion in his voice and ecstatic symptoms manifesting on his body to cry out, "O Narottam, O Narottam, O Narottam." Again and again and again he was calling out the name of Narottam. And his devotees, never seeing Lord Chaitanya in a mood quite like this, they concluded that in that place that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glancing, a great personality of the name Narottam will soon be born. In the ecstasy of love, calling his eternal associate from the spiritual world to descend into this material world to assist in revealing the glories of the holy name and Krishna Bhakti to all humanity, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called the name Narottam. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was approached by Lord Chaitanya, and he explained to him that in the near future, my eternal associate will descend. His name will be Narottam. He said, "Tomorrow morning, when I bathe in the river Padma, I will deposit the sweet mood of my own love, my own bhakti. And I want you, at the proper time, to bring Narottam to come to the river to collect the love that is dwelling within my heart. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates took bath in the river Padma, because of his ecstatic feelings, the river began to overflow. And the personified deity of the river appeared. And Lord Chaitanya instructed her that when my devotee Narottam comes, the same prema, bhakti, of my heart that I am leaving with you, you must give to him in full. So in this way, very soon after, in the kingdom of Keturi Gram, there was a Kayasta king of the name Krishnananda Dutt, and he had a beautiful and chaste wife of the name Narayani. It is said that Narayani was so fortunate that she could also actually see with her own eyes Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Sri Gadadhar dancing within her home. On an auspicious day of the full moon, a child was born. He was given the name Narottam. This child had all of the symptoms of a Mahapurusha. He was most charming and beautiful to see. Everything about him was godly. Anyone who saw him, their hearts would naturally remember Lord Sri Krishna. He was very dearly loved by not only his parents, but everyone in Keturi Gram. There was a wonderful, wonderful festival to celebrate his auspicious birth. When he was at that age, when the ceremony takes place for the child to take first grains, there was a wonderful, wonderful celebration. In Bengal, oftentimes this ceremony is very festive. So all of the respectable people of Keturi Gram gathered, and the Brahmins were chanting mantras, and everything was going very nicely. Everyone was very happy. And at the auspicious astrological moment, they went to give little Narottam his first grains to eat. But he turned his head away. He would not look at these grains. And they tried again and again to somehow put these grains in his mouth, but he just looked upon these grains with utter disgust. So one devotee who was there, who was also an astrologer, he said, as far as my understanding, this boy is such a great Vaishnava that he will not take anything that is not first offered to Krishna. So they offered the grains to Lord Sri Krishna, and they brought the Mahaprasad. And Narottam, little baby, immediately with great enthusiasm, began to eat all of the grains. And when this took place, everyone was very happy, and they celebrated. How auspicious! What a saintly person this boy will be. And the father made a rule that nothing ever will be offered to my child unless it is the Mahaprasad of Lord Sri Krishna. And the child was always so affectionately attracted to anything that had to do with Krishna that the whole family became so Krishna conscious he brought everyone's attention to Krishna. The way they were making offerings, the way they were worshipping the deities, everything was increasing just by the presence of this baby child within the house. Soon he began to go to school, and such a scholar. Whatever they would teach him, he would learn with such proficiency. But especially he was always very much attracted to hearing the bhakti shastras, the scriptures. And he made one very dear friend. He was a very old Brahmin, and his name was Krishna Das. And this Krishna Das was a very great devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after Krishna Das would worship the deities, every day he would go to the house of Narottam, because he loved Narottam like his life and soul. And Narottam, with great, great enthusiasm, would inquire for hours and hours and hours through the day about the various pastimes and teachings of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And Krishna Das would narrate. He would narrate the whole life story of Lord Chaitanya, his wonderful, wonderful leelas, his Adi Leela, Madhya Leela, Antya Leela. He would describe the wonderful, wonderful supernatural pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita, Gadadhar, Swarup Damodar, Srivas, Haridas, Murari Gupta, Suklambar Brahmachari, so many, all of the associates. He knew the stories thoroughly. And then one day he began to narrate the story of Srinivasacharya, that young boy from Jajigram area who was born of Chaitanya Das, who went to visit Lord Chaitanya in Puri, but when he came to the outskirts had heard that Lord Chaitanya had disappeared, and how he went to Gadadhar Pandit, and then Gadadhar Pandit soon after disappeared, and how Srinivas was traveling from place to place seeking the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. And as Narottam was hearing the story of Srinivas Acharya, who was always merged in the ocean of separation, Narottam began to cry, and he began to cry out, "When will I meet this Srinivas? When will I have the dust of his feet upon my head? When will that day be mine?" So in this way, Narottam was burning more and more in the feelings of separation from Lord Chaitanya and his associates, simply by hearing and associating with this great devotee. His parents began to become worried about him, because Krishnananda was the king, his younger brother Purushottam, and Krishnananda only had one son, Narottam. He was the prince. He was meant to be the king. Krishnananda was already getting old, and he was already making arrangements to install Narottam as king. But before that, there had to be the arrangements for his marriage. So as the mother and father were making all nice arrangements, Narottam was praying in the core of his heart, "Please, Lord Chaitanya, please rescue me from this prison house of family life." So one day, in the evening, night, when Narottam was sleeping, Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him in a dream and told him, "Tomorrow, early in the morning, you come to the river Padma to take your bath. the treasure of love of God will be given to you at that time. So Narottam came to the river, following Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the original spiritual master, his instructions. And when he entered into the river Padma, it is explained that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared to him and embraced him. And when he embraced Narottam and soaked his body with his tears, he invested within Narottam's heart his own prema bhakti, his own love. And he instructed Narottam that you distribute this love to the world. When Narottam came out from taking his bath, not only was his heart transformed, but his beautiful, handsome, dark complexion, due to the touch of Lord Gauranga, had become beautiful gold, resembling that of the Lord himself. And Narottam, on the bank of the Padma, began to cry and weep and have wonderful sankirtan, chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. Meanwhile, his parents were wondering, where is our son? Where has he gone? And they sent messengers looking everywhere for him. And finally, they found him, seated, rolling in the dust and dancing like a madman on the banks of the river Padma. And when Narayani and Krishnananda came and they saw, what has happened? His complexion has changed. His whole demeanor has changed. Is this our son? Who is this? We have never seen anyone like this before. And from that day on, Narottam could not take interest in anything. He simply day and night would have kirtan, chant the holy names of Krishna, dance in ecstatic love, and his heart was burning in the fire of separation from Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Of course, Lord Chaitanya had already disappeared from the world at this time. Some years before. So Narottam was praying, please, my Lord, please make your mercy upon me so that I can escape somehow or other from all of the opulences of this material society and allow me to always be engaged in your loving service. He cried and he prayed. His father, being so worried, always kept guards around him so he could not escape from the house. It is explained that Narottam would day and night chant the names of the Lord, and he was unable to sleep at night. But one night he fell asleep, and when he fell asleep, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared to him. His beautiful, beautiful golden form of Navadvip Chandra, arms extending below his knees, beautiful lotus eyes, wonderful, wonderful blackish hair flowing along his shoulders, with beautiful garland, a wonderful smile on his face, broad chest, thin waist. Lord Chaitanya, who was splendid and illustrious like thousands of suns, he embraced Narottam, and then he disappeared. And Narottam woke up, and he was feeling even intense separation. Then, by the will of the Lord, he fell asleep again, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu this time appeared with all of his primary associates. He appeared with Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, Murari, Swarup, Shuklambar, Jagadish, Hiranya, hundreds of associates of the Lord, and they were all dancing on the bank of the Ganges in Navadvip Dham having wonderful kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya affectionately embraced Narottam. Narottam saw that there were thousands and thousands of people joining the kirtan. There were demigods in the audience watching in ecstatic love and showering flowers. And he saw that even the birds and the bees and the animals and the plants were intoxicated with love of God by the influence of Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya ordered him that now is the time we should go to Vrindavan. Now, receive the mercy of my associates. Narottam fell at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu, who embraced him and told him, go to Vrindavan. Then he fell at the feet of Advaita Charya, who lifted him up and embraced him and told him, go to Vrindavan. And Srivas and all the associates gave him the same instruction. Shortly after this wonderful vision, his father was called for a business, a responsible journey that he had to go. And his mother, Narayani, was very soft-hearted, very trusting lady. So without father there, Narottam made some story and in this way convinced his mother that there was no problem, he would be right back. And then he escaped and went into the forest and began to travel that long road to Vrindavan. As he was traveling through the forest, the poor boy was a prince. He was brought up in royal luxuries. He had never seen hardships in his life. But walking in the forest path with bare feet, with no wealth, was very difficult. He had no food. He became very emaciated, hungry. It is described he was terribly exhausted and his feet had boils and blisters so much that it was practically impossible for him to even walk. In this way, in his frail health, he sat down in the forest under a tree. At that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself appeared in the form of a Brahmin with a golden complexion and came to Narottam in disguise and gave him a pot of milk and said, please drink this milk. Otherwise, Narottam could not have survived. So Narottam was so exhausted, he just went into a sleep. And then Srila Rupa Goswami appeared to him and told him that that Brahmin who has given you that milk was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. By drinking that milk, you will feel relief of all your fatigue. It will give you the strength to reach Vrindavan. So Sri Narottam Thakur drank the milk and he became completely refreshed. All of his exhaustion, all of his blisters disappeared by the grace of the Lord. He traveled to many holy places and then, alas, he approached Mathura. When he was in Mathura, he went to Vishram Ghat to take his bath in the river Jamuna. And while he was there, he met an old Brahmin. And that Brahmin looked very sad. And Narottam asked, what is the news in Vrindavan? And the Brahmin crying said, recently Rupa Goswami has disappeared from the world. And Sanatan Goswami has disappeared from the world. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami has disappeared from the world. And that great intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, Kashishwar Pandit, also disappeared from this world. And when Narottam heard this, he fell unconscious. And then he began to weep. How unfortunate I am. that I have come only for the dust of their lotus feet and their wonderful association they have left me. He decided to go from Mathura to Vrindavan the next morning. That night, Lord Chaitanya appeared to Jiva Goswami and told him, actually what happened, that happened also, but Srinivas Acharya was sleeping and Rupa Goswami appeared to him and told him that Narottam is coming. He will arrive tomorrow and he will be your life's dearest friend. When Srinivas heard this, he became very much excited and he ran and told Srila Jiva Goswami about this dream. And it was on that morning that Narottam entered Vrindavan and he went to the temple of Sri Radha Govindaji, the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful constructed temple of Srila Rupa Goswami. And when he saw the beautiful face of Govinda Dev, he began to weep in ecstatic love. Jiva Goswami came there to meet him and greeted him with great affection. And then Srinivas Acharya came. Jiva Goswami, after placing his feet in the dust of his feet on Narottam's head, he embraced him with great affection. And when Srinivas came, Narottam and Srinivas, both seeing each other, waiting for each other for so many years, alas, they had their first meeting. And they embraced one another. They bathed one another in the tears of their love for each other. And this was a historical moment when Srinivas and Narottam, these two most intimate eternal associates, first came together in their earthly lila. And what wonderful service and what wonderful, wonderful satsang together these two devotees had throughout the rest of their lives. Srila Jiva Goswami then took Narottam to the Radha Gokulananda temple, the temple of Lokanath Goswami. Because Lord Chaitanya had instructed in a dream that Narottam should take initiation from Narottanda, from Lokanath. So when Narottam went, Lokanath was worshipping his deity of Radha Vinod, and he was sitting in a secluded place, crying in separation from Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Jiva Goswami introduced Narottam, who fell at Lokanath Goswami's feet. Lokanath Goswami placed his feet on Narottam's head. Lokanath arranged nice prasad. And Narottam Das Thakur requested Lokanath Goswami to accept him as disciple. But Lokanath Goswami had already made a resolution that he would accept no disciples in his life. But Narottam offered his heart at the lotus feet of his spiritual master. And then Jiva Goswami took him to the Radharaman temple, where he met with Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who also affectionately poured his blessings upon Narottam, and then offered him to the beautiful form of the deity of Sri Radharaman. And then he was taken to visit the Radha Gopinath temple by Jiva Goswami. And there he took the dust from the feet of Sri Madhu Pandit, who affectionately embraced him and brought him before Sri Radha Gopinath ji. And Madhu Pandit offered the life of Narottam to the lotus feet of Sri Radha Gopinath. And then he brought him to Bhugarabha Goswami, that great associate of Lokanath and dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And Bhugarabha Goswami also embraced him with great affection, blessed him, and offered to the lotus feet of his deity. Jiva Goswami then brought Narottam to the Radha Damodar temple. And Srila Jiva Goswami personally offered Narottam to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. Of all the great acharyas of Brajbhumi, Narottam had such a natural dedication and loyal affection for Lokanath Goswami. Although Lokanath refused to give him initiation, because his heart was so deeply immersed in separation from Lord Chaitanya, and more recently from Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, he mostly sat in lonely places, crying in love for them and chanting the holy names. So Narottam, wanting to serve this great soul, would serve him in every possible way. Narottam would eat nothing but the remnants from the plate of Lokanath Goswami. He would take no other type of prasad unless it came from the plate of Lokanath Goswami. And Lokanath Goswami, being very humble, the very embodiment of humility, he was so much in this mood that when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami asked for his blessings to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, although he was one of the most prominent of the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, and his story was so wonderful, he said, "I will give you blessings under one condition. You do not say anything about me in your book." And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had to honor the request of this Mahabhagavat Paramhams. So he did not like to accept service from anyone. But Narottam was always anxious, in his own very, very humble, submissive and gentle way, to serve his guru in whatever way he could. And one of the ways he would serve him was that when Lokanath would go to respond to nature before bathing in Jamuna, he would go to a certain place each day. And in the middle of the night, Narottam would very quietly, without saying anything to anyone, he would go to that place and he would clean it meticulously with the broom and with his own hands. And he would bring a nice type of dirt, because in the Goswamis, they would wash their hands with soil. They did not have soap. So he would bring nicest type of soil and make a little pile for Lokanath to wash his hands. And the vessels of water, he would fill them very nicely. So Lokanath was wondering, what is happening? Why? Who is doing this? Who possibly could be doing this? On one occasion, when Narottam asked Lokanath, "Will you accept me as a disciple and give me initiation?" Lokanath Goswami said, "Initiation is not a cheap thing. First, for a minimum of 1 year, you have to continuously chant the holy name of Krishna. You have to chant japa according to regulated vow for at least 1 year." So Narottam, for that whole year, he just absorbed himself in nam japa, chanting the holy names of Krishna. And every night he would clean that special place. So after a year went by, Lokanath was wondering, who is doing this? It must be Narottam. Why would he be doing this? So one night Lokanath decided to secretly hide in the bushes to see. And in the middle of the night, Narottam came, and very carefully, what Lokanath saw was a great wonder. As he was cleaning the stool and the urine, as he was making the whole area very neat, Narottam was chanting the names of his Guru and Krishna with a choked voice and tears of ecstatic, genuine love were flowing from his eyes. And Lokanath could no longer bear seeing this. He came out of the bushes and he said, "Narottam, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why? You are a prince. You are meant to be living in great opulences. And you are cleaning the urine and stool of another. Why you are doing this?" And Narottam replied that, "I have given up all the useless burden of material bondage in the name of opulence. And in this service I have found the highest, the supreme wealth and treasure of my life." In this way, seeing the humility and the love of Narottam, Lokanath Goswami's heart very much melted, and he agreed to give Narottam initiation, who was his only disciple in his life. After giving him the mantra, Gayatri mantra, Nam mantra, Lokanath also understood from Narottam's narrations of his life what an advanced soul he was. Lokanath Goswami had previously said to Narottam, "You don't need a guru. You have already had the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. He has already embraced you. He has already imbibed his love in you. He has already given you personal, specific orders to come to Vrindavan. What can I do for you?" Narottam replied, "No." He said, "I am the most insignificant and fallen. I have no love. No doubt Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been causelessly merciful upon me, but in his mercy he has told me how I could perfect my life, and that is by accepting you as my Guru Maharaj and serving you faithfully forever." So Lokanath Goswami, seeing the advanced stage of pure bhakti, he also revealed to Narottam and told him how to meditate on his original eternal service in the spiritual world. So one day, Narottam was in meditation, and a beautiful cowherd girl appeared to him and told him that my servant, Champaklata, is in charge of bringing milk to be offered to Radha and Krishna. So you should assist. So the Sakhi, Champaklata, put Narottam, who was in the form of a manjari, a gopi, in charge of boiling the milk. So as he was boiling the milk, sometimes the milk would begin to boil over because the fire was so hot. She would go into the forest and collect nice wood, nice cow dung patties and wood, and start the fire and boil the milk. And on one occasion when the milk was boiling over, with bare hands, no cover, picked up the pot to take it off the fire. And when that happened, there were burns on his hand. And he came out of his meditation, and the burns were still on his hand. And Lokanath Goswami explained that it was Radharani herself who was engaged to in the service of her assistant Champaklata. And then Lokanath Goswami ordered Narottam that you should go to the ashram of Jiva Goswami and you should learn the Shastras of Rupa and Sanatan from him. And there with Srinivas, and later Shamananda also came. So Narottam, with the blessings of his guru, he went to Jiva Goswami. Lokanath Goswami requested Jiva Goswami to teach him everything of the science of pure bhakti. In this way he entrusted him. And Jiva Goswami began to instruct these three great souls, Narottam Das, Srinivas, and Duki Krishna. And seeing their great, great devotion and scholarship, it was Jiva Goswami that gave Narottam the name Narottam Das Thakur Mahashoy. And he gave Srinivas the name Srinivasa Acharya. And Duki Krishna, he gave the name Shamananda. So they studied, and these three students were so super excellent. They had such humble desire to serve all the Vaishnavas. And they were so deeply enthusiastic and learned in all of their subject matters, that they literally stole the hearts of all the devotees. Throughout all Brajbhumi, all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, their life and soul became Narottam, Srinivas, and Shamananda. In their separation from Lord Chaitanya and the associates and Rupa and Sanatan, their only solace was the beautiful forms and the wonderful exemplary behavior of Narottam and his associates. There is a beautiful story of how Jiva Goswami asked Raghava Pandit, an associate of Lord Chaitanya who was living at Govardhan, to take Narottam and Srinivas to the whole parikram of Braj Mandal. And there is a wonderful, wonderful description of how they went to all the holy places of Vrindavan Dham, the places of Radha and Krishna's Leela, the places Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited, the Leela stans of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And they also met all of the Vaishnavas in various places. And it is especially to be mentioned how when they came to Radha Kund, they met with Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Raghunath Das was so much immersed in the ecstasies of separation, but when he saw Narottam and embraced him, he became jubilant, he became so happy. And he showered all of his blessings, all of his mercy upon Narottam. After some time, it was decided that the Goswami's books should be sent to Bengal. And after receiving the permission of all the senior devotees, Srinivas Acharya was meant to lead this great procession, and Narottam and Shyamananda were to assist him. So they put the books in wooden carts, wooden boxes, and then there was ox carts that were to bring them. And on an auspicious day, there was a big festival where all the devotees celebrated the departure of these three great souls for a mission which became one of the most historical moments of our whole Gaudiya Vaishnav history, when the literatures of the six Goswamis were to be distributed, the beginning of their distribution throughout the whole world. So they traveled through many lands, and in Bengal they came to that kingdom called Vanavishnupur. And there was a king who was a dacoit, and he had a whole gang of dacoits that would steal anything. Kingdom called Vanavishnupur. And there was a king who was a dacoit, and he had a whole gang of dacoits that would steal anything from anyone at any time, and nobody could do anything to defend themselves. His name was Virampir. So an astrologer told Virampir that there are three men who are living in the outskirts of your kingdom in the forest, and they have great treasure. They have boxes with very, very valuable jewels. So King Virampir told his dacoit thieves, get by any means, but don't hurt these men. Somehow you should get it without hurting anyone. There should be no violence. Otherwise these dacoits were very violent. So while they were sleeping at night, the dacoits stole all the books. And when they rose in the morning, they were shocked. The only copies of the books of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, they have been stolen. They were searching everywhere, but they could not find. They began to fall on the ground in terrible anxiety, anguish that cannot be imagined, that the greatest treasures of the whole universe, of the whole creation, the life works of the Goswamis who had departed from the world, was gone forever. It was unbearable anxiety. But then a voice came in the sky, a divine voice, that said, soon you will find these books. So with some solace, Srinivas told Narottam and Shyamananda that they should go ahead and do their preaching. So Narottam Das Thakur traveled to his original birthplace of Kethuri. By this time, his father had already left his body, And his cousin, whose name was Santosh Dutt, was the king. And they were very dear friends. So Santosh Dutt and all the residents of Keturi Gram greeted Narottam with great love and devotion. And Narottam began to preach to them about the philosophy of the six Goswamis, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and completely won over the hearts and converted everyone, especially his cousin, the king. And the whole town of Keturi Gram became the disciples of Narottam and became pure Vaishnavas. And Narottam began to teach them process of wonderful, wonderful philosophy and kirtan. One day Narottam got a letter, message from Lokanath Goswami. And in it he said that you are doing very nice preaching in Keturi Gram, but it will be very important for you to install deities and teach your disciples how to worship the deities properly for their devotional service to grow. So one night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to Narottam in a divine dream and told him that there is a Brahmin who is very wealthy. His name is Vipuradas. And he has granary, house where grains are stored. But it is infested with poisonous snakes. And no one has dared to go in that house for many, many years. He said, but my deity form along with my consort is there. Do not be afraid of the snakes. Go and bring the deity out and install me properly. So when Narottam had this vision, he became very determined and he found out where is this Vipradas. Somewhere in the outskirts of Keturi Gram, and he approached him and he said, these are your granaries? He said, yes. He said, I'm going in. And Vipuradas said, no, no, you cannot go in. Absolutely impossible. There's thousands and thousands of venomous snakes. Nobody can go in there. And then the townspeople, when they heard that Narottam was going to go into the granary of Vipradas, they became very much afraid. And they were all pleading with Narottam, falling at his feet even, don't go in, you cannot go in. It was explained that even snake charmers and other mystics would come over the years and through their mantrams and through their rituals, they were trying to attract the snakes to come out or make them peaceful. But the more they chanted these mantrams to pacify the snakes, the more everyone could hear the thousands and thousands of snakes hissing more angry than ever. Narottam, against the orders and the will of everyone, he fearlessly walked into the granary. And as he walked into the granary, all the snakes became very respectful, and they all left. And the townspeople could not believe what they were seeing. And he went inside and he came out carrying beautiful, beautiful beauty of beautiful deity of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he went back in and came out carrying a beautiful deity of Vishnupriya, the consort of Lord Chaitanya. And this was a great wonder. And then By the order of the Lord, he also had carved 5 other sets of deities. Meanwhile, Narottam decided to go on various pilgrimages. These are wonderful stories. We do not have so much time. But Narottam went to he went to Navadvip. And when he arrived in Navadvip, he saw something wonderful. He saw the whole town was festive. There was festoons and banana trees and fruits and flowers everywhere, like a big festival. And through the streets he saw, with his own eyes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his beautiful golden form and all of his associates having wonderful, wonderful, wonderful kirtans dancing along the banks of the Ganges. And all the residents of Navadvip were just smiling and laughing and crying in ecstasy, the ecstasy of jubilation, seeing the beautiful dance of Lord Chaitanya. And Narottam was intoxicated with love as he saw this sight. But then all of a sudden it disappeared. And he saw Navadvip for what it was. It was like a ghost town. Even it appeared that even the trees and every blade of grass was an agony of separation, crying. What to speak of the residents? They couldn't even look out. They couldn't even look up. Everywhere he just saw tears in separation from Lord Chaitanya. So he began to walk, and he saw one resident of Navadvip, and he asked him, "Where is the house that Lord Chaitanya used to live?" Narottam wanted a pilgrimage of Navadvip. And when he asked this person, "Where is Lord Chaitanya's house?" the person simply burst out in tears. And he couldn't even speak. He just pointed to him, "This is where the house is, over here." So Narottam began to walk. And then coming down the street, at that very moment, was Suklambar Brahmachari, one of the most confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya. And when he saw the beauty of Narottam, he asked, "Who are you?" He introduced himself, and Suklambar said, "Oh, we have been waiting for you for so many years. We have only been living, we've only been continuing our life to receive you." You see, when Lord Chaitanya pronounced the coming of Narottam, when near Ramakeli, he cried out, "Narottam, Narottam," it spread. Every devotee of Lord Chaitanya heard this news, how Lord Chaitanya was ecstatically calling for his devotee Narottam to come to the world. So Narottam was famous and loved by every associate of Lord Chaitanya because they understood how much Lord Chaitanya loved him. And the pastimes of Narottam and Nityananda Prabhu's mercy upon him were already known and loved by all. So Suklambar Brahmachari brought Narottam to the house of Lord Chaitanya. He brought him to so many places of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. He met Ishan, the servant of Sachi Mata. He met whoever was surviving. And then, taking leave after seeing the beautiful land of Navadvip, He went to Srikhanda, where he met Raghunandan and Narahari Sarakar. And then he went to Jagannath Puri. He first went to Narendra Sarovar, and in Jagannath Puri, Gopinath Acharya and other devotees greeted him, and he went to the Jagannath temple. He went to the beautiful temple of Tota Gopinath. In this way, he saw all the places Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his pastimes in Puri. And then Narottam returned, and on his way he stopped at Ekachakra. On the outskirts of Ekachakra, it is described that Lord Nityananda Prabhu disguised himself as a Brahmin. And he greeted Narottam and said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Narottam." "Oh, we residents of Ekachakra have been waiting for you to come." And then this Brahmin began to take Narottam on a beautiful parikrama of Ekachakra. He took him to the place where Nityananda was born and explained to him of the birth of Nityananda Prabhu. And then he took him to the place where Nityananda Prabhu was educated in his school of Hadai Pandit. And he took him to the place where Nityananda would play so many wonderful games with his devotees, enacting the wonderful pastimes of Krishna in his incarnations. He took him to each place and what pastime they enacted in that place. Then he took him where that very, very mysterious sannyasi first arrived in Ekachakra. And he explained the story, how the sannyasi asked Hadai Pandit, "Give me your son." And here is the place where Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, the mother and father, last embraced their beautiful son Nitai. And here is the place, here is the road that the sannyasi took him down. And here is the exact spot that Hadai Pandit fell unconscious in the anguish of separation from his son. And here is the place that Padmavati fell to the ground and began to weep and weep and cry, and also went unconscious, blacked out, unable to bear the pain. And here is the place where Hadai Pandit tried to console Padmavati in separation of their beloved son. And here is the place where all the residents of Ekachakra realized that Balaram himself had appeared in our village and we didn't even recognize him. And they all chased after. One of the residents of Ekachakra decided that my son, I have a son, he is my only son, and he's a great scholar, and he's an excellent cook, he's proficient at everything. He ran after the sannyasi to offer him, "I'll give you my son, take him, but leave Nityananda here." But by the time all of the residents were ready to make that offer, but the sannyasi disappeared. No one could find him mysteriously along with Nityananda. So in this way, Narottam got a complete tour of all of Ekachakra by this wonderful Brahmin. And that night he rested. And as he rested, he had a dream. And Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him and told him that I was that Brahmin myself. I have personally given you the tour of Ekachakra. Then Narottam returned to Khetri Gram after crossing over the Padma River. At one time, soon after, Narottam heard that Srinivasacharya was in the area. So he met with Srinivasacharya. He also met with Shamananda, and they decided that they should have, the three of them together, decided they should have a big, big festival, the first of its kind in the history of the world, the festival of Gaur Purnima, to celebrate the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at that time they would install Lord Chaitanya, Vishnu Priya, and the other five set of deities. They decided to have grand arrangements and invite all of the associates and the disciples of the associates of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from wherever they were. So Narottam, who was such a wonderful and beautiful poet in wonderful Sanskrit language, he wrote invitations to each of the devotees and sent messengers to each place to personally invite them. Meanwhile, Santosh Dutt, who was at that time an initiated disciple of Narottam and the king of Khetri, he decided that to serve the Vaishnavas, whatever wealth was in his kingdom, he would use it to serve the Vaishnavas. So he had constructed a big, big, beautiful kirtan mandap. And then he had constructed wonderful, wonderful guest houses. Residence where all the devotees could stay very comfortably. And then big, big storage of massive quantities of bhoga. In this way, he utilized his wealth for the highest purpose of the service of the Vaishnavas. So the invitations were distributed throughout Bengal and Orissa, and devotees began to come. It is described that Janava Devi, who was the senior most of all the Vaishnavas of the time, Janava Devi was the consort of Nityananda. She received the invitation in the village of Karadaha, where she lived. And there, she was so happy. She explained to Vasudha Devi, Ganga Devi, and Birbhadra Acharya about this wonderful festival. And with many, many of her disciples and the disciples of Nityananda Prabhu, some of the greatest of the living saints, Murari Chaitanya, Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Gauri Das Pandit's brothers, Paramananda, many of the most intimate associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, they all traveled with Janava toward Kethuri. And on their way, they came through Navadvip. And most of the devotees from Navadvip, everyone greeted Janava Devi and had wonderful darshan with her. And many of them decided to come with her. Meanwhile, in Santipur, the favorite son of Advaitacharya, Achyutananda, was in so much pangs of separation that his father and Lord Chaitanya and everyone had left, that he decided that there was no use living, he would give up his life. But then when Janava heard this, she invited him to come to this wonderful festival. So he also joined her procession. And then they traveled to Shikanda, where Raghunandan also decided to join the festival. Narahari Sarakar had already left this world in separation from the Lord. And then they went to Katwa, and Yadunandan, who was a disciple of Das Gadadhar, very, very great devotee, he also joined. All these great Mahatmas entered the procession of Janava Devi. And when they came to cross the river Padma, Santosh Dutt, he not only did he make beautiful arrangements in the kingdom, but he actually had constructed beautiful, beautiful boats to take everyone across the river Padma to Kethuri Gram. So when Janava and her entourage arrived, Srinivas, Narottam, and Ramchandra, Shamananda also. Ramchandra was a very special devotee. Ramchandra was a disciple of Srinivas Acharya. But Lord Chaitanya appeared to Ramchandra and personally told him that your lifelong mission will be to associate with Narottam Das Thakur and assist him in his preaching. So all of these, it was at this Kethuri Gram festival that Srinivas entrusted his favorite disciple, Ramchandra, to the care of Narottam. The love between these devotees, the trust between these devotees, is the sweetest, most wonderful experience, even to hear. So these great acharyas, Narottam, Srinivas, Shamanand, Ramchandra, they greeted all of the devotees with so much affection. Everyone that came was given garlands and sandalwood. They were greeted with wonderful kirtans. They were personally escorted by these great souls to their rooms. They all had individual, very nice rooms. And prasad was arranged for all of them in bathing facilities. Santosh Dutt, Narottam, Srinivas, they just put so much of their concentration and energy and everything in personally making sure every single Vaishnav was completely comfortable with wonderful, wonderful association, wonderful prasad, wonderful facilities in every respect. In this way, they demonstrated what Vaishnav actually is. To serve the Vaishnavas with such care, whoever we are, however great, however advanced, we are never too advanced to be the servant of the Vaishnavas. To make the devotees comfortable, to make devotees feel good, is the example of our greatest acharyas. So they decided, after this wonderful reunion, the devotees actually, they worshipped Janava Devi. They worshipped her with great, great feeling and devotion. And then they decided to begin the festival the next morning. And the first thing was the installation of all the deities. Srinivas Acharya was asked to be the pujari and the priest. So when all the arrangements were made, there were very, very nice seats for all the senior Vaishnavas, the Mahatmas. And Janava Devi had her special seat. And Srinivas, with great humility, took the dust of the feet of all of these great souls and then begged their permission if in their service they would like him to install the deities. And after they all showered their blessings upon him, then he began the wonderful Abhishek ceremony. And after the Abhishek ceremony of all of the deities, Srinivas, he offered beautiful arti, beautiful bhog offering, and then arti. And then all of the devotees were fed very nicely by the Vaishnavas. And then Narottam began kirtan. Probably the most famous kirtan in the history of our sampradaya. Narottam Das began the kirtan with just a small set of kartals. And he began to sing very sweetly, in a very unique style of kirtan that Lord Chaitanya empowered him to create. And he sang with such devotion, such beautiful, beautiful words of love. That everybody's heart completely melted. It is described that the great Mahatmas, the associates of Lord Chaitanya, hearing Narottam's voice and seeing his love, they just couldn't control themselves. They would just get up and start embracing him and soaking him with tears. And Narottam continued singing. And Raghunandan Thakur, when he heard, he just became like a madman in ecstatic love, hearing the beautiful sound of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's names. And he took garlands and sandalwood and started worshipping all the instruments. And then Srinivas Acharya personally had custom-made the murdangas and kartals for this kirtan. And Raghunandan started offering puja and worship to all of them. And as Narottam began to sing, the kirtan began to become more and more and more involved. And one by one, by his indication, more karatals started joining. And then one murdanga after another murdanga started joining. And soon this kirtan was completely ecstatic. And everyone was dancing and jumping and twirling so beautifully, like madmen. Everyone was dancing and chanting. And Janava Devi, chanting the holy names, was just watching and taking part in great ecstasy. And as Narottam continued this kirtan, at every moment, the ecstasies in the hearts of the devotees was becoming more and more and more intensified. Nobody could understand whether there would be any limit to how much ecstasy they could feel in this kirtan of Narottam Das Thakur. It became tumultuous. This kirtan filled the whole universe with the wonderful sounds of the holy names. And all the devotees were dancing so beautifully. Everyone completely forgot that they even had a body. And even people who were just guests, because the news of the Khetri Dram Festival spread everywhere. There were even people who just came out of curiosity. There were even people who were coming to criticize, skeptics, atheists. But when they heard the sound of the names of Krishna coming from the lips of Narottam and all the devotees, it was like an ocean, a tidal wave of ecstatic love that even those people just began dancing ecstatically and weeping and crying tears of love. Anyone who in any way heard, took part, or saw this wonderful kirtan became a pure, unalloyed devotee of Krishna. And as the kirtan escalated to higher and higher heights of wonderful love, and the devotees were chanting and the devotees were dancing and they were singing so loud, at that very moment, the most wonderful miracle took place. Right in the middle of the kirtan appeared Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who decades before had left the world. And by his side was Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, Srivas, Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, Murari Gupta, Swarup Damodar, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gopinath Acharya, everyone was appearing. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Kashishwar, all of the associates, hundreds and hundreds of the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, who had already left the world in separation and gone back to Godhead, they all appeared in Khetri Gram, and they all began dancing in ecstasy to this song of Narottam Das Thakur. And they began to dance with one another. Achyutananda saw his father again, began to dance with him. Janavadevi saw her beloved consort, who she was so bereft in separation, Nityananda Prabhu, and she began to weep and cry in ecstasy, jubilation. Raghunandan saw his beloved guru, Narahari, who he was weeping so much for in separation. They were all dancing together. And as they were dancing, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his beautiful, beautiful golden form, completely captivated everyone and everything. They were embracing one another, crying on one another. And the kirtan, when all these great associates came, it became infinitely more tumultuous. Devotees were not only chanting, they were roaring in ecstasy of love. And this went on for hours and hours and hours and hours. And then all of a sudden, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his associates disappeared. And all of the devotees present, they couldn't believe that this wonderful vision was gone. The sight of the Lord and his devotees dancing at Khetri Gram was permanently imprinted in everyone's heart that was present. But when they disappeared, they all started falling to the ground, weeping and crying in separation from them. They didn't know what to do. They were at loss. And then Janavadevi, seeing the devotees in utter despondency that the Lord had left them, she reminded them that today is holy. Today we must celebrate the wonderful Vrindavan festival. So they became jubilant. And Janavadevi took different color powders and brought them in the deity room and decorated Lord Chaitanya and Vishnupriya with these colors. And And then, the other great Mahatmas, great Vaishnavas, decorated the other deities with the holy colors. And then Janava Devi instructed that everyone should celebrate in great and gentle love and affection by showering each other with colors. So all the devotees with great love and affection began to celebrate Holi and covered each other with various colors of powders. Of course, we understand that this is not like the Holi that is celebrated in India today. These colors represent your love. And when you offer it very graciously and very gratefully, you are actually offering your love to the other. And it's a fight. Who could offer more love to the other? So this wonderful, wonderful festival of Holi was celebrated. After which, Janava Devi herself went into the kitchen and personally directed and cooked with her own hands a wonderful feast. Srinivasacharya was her assistant and was cutting the sabjis and doing everything. And she was also. And she cooked such a feast. And then she personally sat all the devotees down and she personally served them with her own hands, along with Narottam, Srinivas, Shamanand, Ramachandra. They were all serving the prasad. And Janavishwari, she cooked in such a way that when the devotees tasted this prasad, after she offered it to Lord Chaitanya's deity, when they tasted this prasad, they had never tasted prasad so ecstatically delicious and satisfying. And they just kept eating more and more and more because they just didn't want to stop eating this wonderful prasad cooked by Janava Devi. And after they were completely satisfied, Srinivas, Narottam, they said to Janava Devi, "Now you please, you are very old." She was also emaciated and thin from so much separation from her lord. They told her, "You please take prasad." She said, "No, no, now I must serve the servers." And after everyone completely was satisfied by the prasad and the service, then on the insistence of the devotees, she sat down to take prasad herself. She was the prominent guru of all the Vaishnavas. And then that night, they stayed up, it was Gaur Purnima, and all the great devotees throughout the whole night began to discuss the wonderful pastimes and teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The katha was so wonderful and ecstatic with the realizations and the experiences of the Lord's own personal associates. And the next morning, it was time Ishwari, Janava Devi, explained that she was now going to travel to Vrindavan. There was another wonderful feast of prasad, and then everyone, after a great emotional scene of saying goodbye to each other, they went to their different places. Meanwhile, in Khetri Gram, Narottam Das Thakur's influence was becoming more and more and more prominent throughout all of Bengal. Ramchandra was his constant associate, Ramchandra Kaviraj. It is described one day Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur were on the outskirts of Khetri Gram. And they saw two boys, two young boys, and they were hurting. Calves, not calves, but very young goats and buffaloes and sheep, babies. So Narottam turned to Ramchandra and said, these two young boys, they appear to have very devotional qualities. Let us find out who they are. So the boys were just herding these little baby animals. Who are you? One boy said, my name is Hari Ram, and this is my younger brother Ram Krishna. And we are from the village across the river, which is a village of very, very learned Brahmins. And our father is a very, very powerful, wealthy, learned Brahmin. And this is the Navaratri time, and it's coming up. Very soon the Navaratri is coming up, and our father worships goddess Durga. And every year at this time, we purchase these young goats and buffaloes and sheep, and we slaughter them and offer them to goddess Durga. So my father's physician is also a great Brahmin, and he told us that we could come to this place and get very, very good animals for sacrifice. So we are bringing these baby animals to our village to be sacrificed to goddess Durga on the order of our father. So Narottam heard this. Ramchandra began to speak to each other about Krishna Katha. And when the two boys heard this, they became enthralled by the nectar. And then he began to preach to them. Narottam began to explain about Krishna Bhakti and about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and about how a Vaishnava should be merciful and kind to every living being, and how the only real sacrifice in this age of Kali is the chanting of God's names. And when the boys heard this, they became so happy that they surrendered at the feet of Narottam and said, we will not go home, we will not bring these animals, we will stay with you, we will surrender to you. So Narottam and Ramchandra brought the two children back to Khetri Gram and gave them the darshan of Lord Chaitanya's deity and offered the children at the feet of the deity, and then began to teach them about Sankirtan and teach them about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So they became very happy. They became surrendered souls. And they stayed with Narottam. And the next day, Narottam and Ramchandra gave the two boys initiation. And they completely committed, dedicated disciples, chanting kirtan and preaching wherever they would go. But then it was the day of Vijayadashami, and the boys said that, you know, today it is the final day of Durga Puja, and we should actually go back to our father today because he's wondering where we have been for so long. So Narottam said, yes, you go and you preach the glories of Gaur Prema. So the boys went back to their village. And they first went and began to preach some of their father's friends and converted them to become Vaishnavas. And then they went before their father face to face. He was a very powerful person,
He was so angry. He was so furious. His eyes were burning. He said, "Where have you been? What nonsense?" They explained that we met this great saint named Narottam Das Thakur, and we have become Vaishnavas. Now we are not any longer worshipping Durga for material things, we are chanting Hare Krishna. And this made him even more angry. He was terribly angry. He said, you have committed the greatest offense to the goddess. I have sent you to buy these animals to bring back for sacrifice, and you didn't even bring them back. There were no sacrifice. This is such an offense. You will be destroyed, and you will cause me to be destroyed." And he was just screaming at them. So what is this nonsense about these Vaishnavas? And he started blaspheming the Vaishnavas and blaspheming Narottam. He says, "If your philosophy is so great, let us see." And he brought the greatest pundits of this Brahminical village. And he said, and these were just boys, he said, "See how your philosophy holds against them." They were all worshippers of goddess Durga. They all believed in these animal slaughters. So these boys completely defeated and annihilated these pundits to such an extent that they all decide to go across the river and surrender to Narottam Das Thakur. And then the father was even more angry, and he called there was a Digvijay pundit named Murari who defeated everyone in all directions. And he was from that village. It was a very powerful, learned village of Brahmins. And the father, he requested Murari that you must teach my sons a good lesson. So Murari came with all kinds of books, and he started a debate with these two young boys, and they so thoroughly defeated him with Vaishnava philosophy that Murari said, "We just have to become Vaishnavas, there's no other way." And the father was so upset. He was beyond control, his anger. By this time, when Murari was defeated by his two small children, he was actually laying down on the verge of death. This is to the extent he was upset. He was laying down on the verge of death. And just at that point, he began to beg forgiveness from the Vaishnavas for all the offenses he had committed. And meanwhile, the children were just completely detached and just effulgent. During this time, the greatest scholar of all the Brahmins of that area, he was from that village. He was sitting on the bank of the Padma River. And he didn't get involved in all this. He was just watching it all happen. And he saw these two children, Hari Ram and Ram Krishna, how they were completely effulgent. And they were so precise and learned, and they had such devotion, and how they utterly defeated all the pundits of the village. And this Brahmin was extremely famous. He was the most famous for his erudition, his debate, his ability to prove points, his perfectly pure behavior. But he was extremely proud, terribly arrogant. And when this Brahmin saw these children, how they had been transformed by Narottam, he realized that he had wasted his entire life in these academic pursuits. He realized that all he got out of his great, great, deep, deep study of the scriptures and learning millions and millions of slokas, he got nothing out of it except just a burden and a mountain of pride and arrogance. He wanted what these two children had, the effulgent love of God that was emanating from them. This great Brahmin, his name was Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. And he went to Khetri Gram. He went to Hari Ram and Ramakrishna. And he asked them, please, please show me who is your guru. Please take me to this Narottam Thakur. I want to surrender my life to him. So, the boys started taking him to Khetri Gram, and Narottam Das was there at the temple. And when Ganga Narayan saw, he fell at their feet and surrendered, and Narottam lifted him and embraced him. And Ganga Narayan surrendered his life. And Narottam initiated him with Vaishnav mantra. When the word got out that Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, who was considered the most formidable, highest, most learned of all Brahmins, was initiated by Narottam, this news spread like wildfire. Meanwhile, even the dacoits, there was one dacoit, he was the leader of a gang of dacoits, I think his name was Chandra Rai, and he used to kill people and murder people and rob people, and he had all these hundreds of other people who were scared of him like anything, that would do anything he would say. And he was a goddess, he would worship goddess Durga also. But the goddess sent a ghost to haunt him. And he was being completely harassed by this ghost, he couldn't bear it. And then goddess Durga appeared to him with her chopper covered with blood. Told her, if you want relief from this ghost, and if you want relief from my bloody chopper, you have to surrender to Narottam Das Thakur. Because he is the true saint. He is a true devotee of Krishna. Even I am his servant. So then when he fell at the feet of Narottam and became a pure, peaceful, gentle Vaishnav, always chanting the holy names, all the dacoits came to surrender to Narottam. All the Brahmins, everyone was coming to surrender to Narottam. And he was teaching them all the wonderful process of Harinam Sankirtan. But there were other Brahmins who became very disturbed. Because Narottam was a Kayasta, he was not a Brahmin. And Kayastas are considered Shudras in Bengal, by caste. So, the caste Brahmins, the smarta Brahmins, were outraged when they heard that Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, such a highly born, learned Brahmin, was initiated by a Shudra. This outraged them. They considered this downfall of Brahminical culture. And they began to blaspheme, and they began to send threats to murder Narottam. They threatened to murder him. So many death threats. And so many blasphemies. But just as we read in Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita yesterday, Srila Prabhupada said, the dogs will bark, but the caravan will carry on. Srila Prabhupada was also criticized for the same reason, because he was initiating people who were not Brahmins. In this way, they were criticizing him for initiating Brahmins. So these caste Brahmins became so furious, so outraged, that they actually approached the king. This king's name was Narasimha. And they told him that he's going to ruin the whole Vedic culture because he's a Shudra and he's initiating Brahmins. And King Narasimha wrote a letter to Narottam, why you are doing like this? Why you are ruining the Vedic culture like this? So Narottam wrote a letter back and explained, according to the Shastras, how this is completely proper. But he wrote it. Even in his letter, there was such humility that the king's heart melted just by the humility of the letter. What to speak of the philosophy that was spoken? But these Brahmins were very outraged, and it's the duty of a king that they have to respect the words of the Brahmins, so the king didn't know what to do. Narottam wrote in his letter, if you are not satisfied but what I'm writing in the letter, then bring the Brahmins and we can have a debate and see. So the king said, why don't we go there and have debate with him? And the Brahmin said, yes, we will go. We will destroy him. He's a Shudra. How will he stand up against us? So they brought carts of their books and scriptures for reference. And the leader of the Brahmins was a pandit named Rupa Narayan. So meanwhile, Narottam was expecting them to come, and he asked Santosh Dutt to make nice arrangements to greet them in Khetri Gram, be very cordial, loving to everyone. But Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Ramchandra, who are the two foremost and most famous of the disciples of Narottam, Ganga Narayan became such a Vaishnava, such a pure, humble Vaishnava. So they decided that they would teach these pundits a good lesson. So although Ramchandra Kaviraj and Ganga Narayan were very, very learned Brahmins, they disguised themselves as Shudras. Ganga Narayan disguised himself as a maker of pottery, and Ramchandra Kaviraj disguised himself as a seller of betel leaves. So they set up little, very simple little shop on the side of the road in the outskirts, because they knew that the procession of the king would come by that road. And as the king was coming by, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti started calling them, please come and see what we have to sell. Meanwhile, some of the students of these professor pundits were there first. And they came by and they were selling them betel leaves. And as they were selling, they were talking to each other, Ramchandra Kaviraj and Ganga Narayan. And they were talking the highest form of Sanskrit, which even the greatest pundits could hardly understand. And these students, they were thinking, what is this? These simple people in rags, betel nut seller, pottery, they're speaking this Sanskrit? Nobody knows this Sanskrit. So they went back to their professors who were in the procession and they said, we think you better meet these people. So the big pundits approached. And Ganga Narayan and Ramchandra were just speaking all kinds of shastra to each other in Sanskrit as they were selling things. And the Brahmins, they asked, where you learned this Sanskrit from? Where we learned the Sanskrit from? From Narottam Das Thakur. He is our guru. This outraged the pundits. They said, your Narottam Das is an offender. He's ruining the Vedic culture. He's a Shudra, and he's taking the position of a guru. A guru cannot be a Shudra. And he's initiating Brahmins, and he's chanting all these mantras so loud. He is a rascal. And very politely, the betel nut seller and the potter began to quote Shastra and completely defeat all the arguments of these caste Brahmins. And meanwhile, Rupa Narayan and the king were watching. And the king said, Rupa Narayan, you know, you better see what you can do. So Rupa Narayan approached the potter and the betel nut seller, and he just, like a hurricane, he started lodging all these attacks of Shastra on them to prove their point. And they just, very cool, very sweetly, they just started quoting slokas and explaining philosophy in such pristine, pure Sanskrit grammar. And they quoted such Shastra that Rupa Narayan was speechless. And the king looked at Rupa Narayan and said, I think we should become Vaishnavas. If you cannot even defeat the potter and betel nut disciples of Narottam, how are you going to debate Narottam Das Thakur? So Rupa Narayan and all of the pundits decided that they had to surrender. So they all went to Khetri Gram, and they all fell at the feet of Narottam Das Thakur, and they surrendered their lives to him. And he gradually initiated them and made them all wonderful devotees and taught them the science of chanting the holy names of Krishna. So there are so many wonderful stories in the life of Sri Thakur Narottam Das. Today is his disappearance day. It is explained that Ramchandra Kaviraj decided years later to go to Vrindavan, and there he gave up his life in immersed in separation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees. He went back to Godhead. And when this news reached Srinivasacharya and reached Narottam Das Thakur, it was a blow that they could not bear. And Srinivasacharya, at the loss of Ramchandra, he also, very soon after, in the ocean of love of God, disappeared from the world to return to the spiritual world. When Narottam heard that both Ramchandra and Srinivas, his two dearmost loving associates in Krishna's service, had left, he also became so much overwhelmed with transcendental ecstatic grief that he told his disciples, headed by Ganga Narayan and others. He had so many disciples, tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands, millions of disciples. So He told them to make a funeral pyre. And he sat on the funeral pyre and he went into a samadhi. And then all of the symptoms of his life disappeared. His devotees were weeping and crying. And on the instruction that Narottam had previously given, they were meant to burn his body. But just at that time, some more of these caste Brahmins began to blaspheme. Just see, he's dead. He's a Shudra. Because of his offenses, he's dead. He committed so many offenses against the Brahminical culture. And to have such blasphemies on the day of the disappearance day of your guru was too much. So Ganga Narayan Chakravarti began to pray that, please, Guru Maharaj, please come back and show compassion and remove the envy from these people's hearts. So just at that time, although his body was on the funeral pyre, right in front of everyone's eyes, his golden complexion just began to radiate such an incredible and beautiful effulgence. And then he began to chant Krishna's holy names. And when he came to life again, all of these caste Brahmins blaspheming him, they all fell at his feet and surrendered and begged him for initiation. Then Narottam basically spent some time in seclusion, just immersed in his eternal lila as the maidservant of Radharani and her assistants in Vrindavan, immersed in chanting the holy names. And then one day he called for Ganga Narayan and some of the other devotees and told them, let us go to the river Ganga. And they went to Ganga and he told them that you should massage my body with the water of the Ganges. And they began to, in the water itself, they began to take water and massage his body and pour it on him. And as they were doing it, whichever limb the water of the Ganges fell on, that flesh, that limb, would melt and turn into milk and merge into the river Ganges. So the devotees were crying that our guru is disappearing, but at the same time it was his order. They had to keep pouring the Ganges water on him. And as they were pouring, his body was melting into milk and it just merged into the river. Ganga Narayan took a pot and caught some of the milk and made a beautiful samadhi for Narottam Das Thakur. So in this way, in this most wonderful pastime, Narottam entered into the eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan. So today at noon we will be, or at 11:30, we will be singing the songs of Sri Narottam Das Thakur during the Brahmachari class. And also on this very auspicious day, Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur will accept the saffron color of Ivana Prasta. Rivo. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Narottam Das Thakur ki.